My goodness, I'm amazed at how quickly we're flying through this book of Romans. I looked and I think this is the sixth message and we're not finished with chapter one yet. I was noticing this week, I thought, oh man, you got to pick it up, preacher. But anyway, I do hope or intend to finish this chapter this morning. And I hope to do it in a timely manner. The title of the message is Stairway to Destruction, Romans chapter 1 and verse 24. Will you stand with me in respect and reverence for the Word of God? Verse 24 says, therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, once again, we pray for your guidance in your word. Open our hearts to receive it. May it not be my opinion, my view, or any man's view. But Lord, may everything be revealed today as the will of God and the heart of God. Move among us, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, as we look at our culture and the condition of our country, we see a culture that has been ravaged by sin. And I'm not here to preach and to go through all the sin and how wrong things are in America. Instead, I want you to understand why we are where we are. And this is somewhat of a continuation of last week. Sin's not the problem in America. You say, Brother Doug, it's not. Sin is a symptom of the disease that plagues America. The disease is God rejection. Okay? We look and boy, we get so disturbed at the sin, but if you look deeper, the deep problem, and it's mentioned in verse 21, we didn't read it this morning, but we read it last week. Verse 21 says, although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful. When you refuse to honor God as God, when you refuse to honor God as God, you take that first step down the stairway to destruction. That's what Romans chapter 1 is about. Sin is a product of a heart that has turned away from God. That's what I want you to get today. It's not the sin that's the problem. The sin is a result of turning from God. And today we look at what happens to that culture that turns from God. Verse 24, God gave them over to uncleanness. Now, that word to give over, or that phrase to give over, it means to
to take from one hand and place it into someone else's hand. God has given you the ability to choose. You are a free moral agent. You can decide what you will do and what you will not do. And that's the way it's been since the beginning of time. As such, you have to make a choice on where you stand with God. Deuteronomy chapter 39 and chapter 30 and verse 19. Moses put this before the children of Israel. He said, "I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that you and your descendants may live." That same choice has been set before the United States of America. It's set before you today. Life and death. If you choose to reject God, you choose death. And you will suffer the consequences of your choice. Those consequences, or that consequence, be that first step of being given over to uncleanness. That word unclean. Understand. It's filth, rottenness, dirty. And it's a word that is used in the New Testament predominantly, not every time, but most of the time it is word used to describe sexual sin. I do not have to tell you, sex outside of marriage is wrong. I don't have to tell you that. Why? Because you already know it. God has put this realization within every person that it's wrong. And, you know, oh, Brother Doug, it's fact of nature. And I know the world, you know, gives you, it's just the, you know, we should be able to do anything we want to do. But listen, if you did not know that it was wrong, why would you hide it? Give you an example. Never does a husband walk into his home and his wife ask him, "Hi, honey, how was your day? What did you do today?" He never says, "Well, honey, I had a great day. I slept with my coworker." You would never say that, would you? Why? Because you knew it's wrong. You knew if she finds out, she's going to kill you, right? But even worse than that, you knew it's the natural reaction to cover it up because you know it's wrong. God has set that within your heart. The teenager never comes home. And the parents say, "What did y'all do today?" The teenager never responds, "Oh, we got a hotel room and had a great date." Never. Why? Because they know it's wrong. The husband, if his wife asks him, "What are you going to do this evening, honey?" He never says, "I'm going to spend 2 hours in front of the computer looking at porn." Why? Because he knows it's wrong. It's a given. God has put that sense of right and wrong within everyone. And if we know it's wrong, how did we wind up here where we are today? It's because we've made the choice to reject what God has said is right and wrong. And we reject God and say, "I'm going to do it my way." And because we've said, "I'm going to do it my way," God has turned us over or given us up to our uncleanness, to this. You know, I can even tell you the consequences of sin. Sin has consequences. You know that, right? You make bad choices, you pay for it. I can tell you the consequences of uncleanness, teenage pregnancy, STDs, destruction of the family, living with guilt, living with lies, the fear of you being found out. But you know what the saddest consequence is? When it says, God gave them over. You have to fully understand what that means. God saying, you have refused me and you have chosen this. So, I'm hands off. To put it in understandable language today. You see, we have this concept that we can get away with our sin and that we'll never be found out. And it never works. Haven't you, you know, do you ever notice that? I don't know how we're surprised when we're discovered. But worse than that, we're in that place where we feel like there's a big empty hole within us. You know what I'm talking about? When you're refusing and rejecting God, something is missing. I've often heard people say, well, I just feel like God's not there. You want to know why? You feel like He's not there? Because He's not. There are some roads that God will not go down with you. And that's what this is. Oh, David got in that position at one time. He was guilty of adultery and murder. And he was in such a shape, Psalms 51:11, he cried out, do not cast me away from your presence. And do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. See, here was a man the Bible described as a man after God's own heart. And he's saying, God, I'm empty. Restore the joy. Why was he empty? He chose his way instead of God's way. God said, okay. You see what we do, and I want you to take special notice, verse 25. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. If you'll notice, the lie. That article there, the definite article, is not just a lie for the lie. What is the lie? Well, you go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. When Adam and Eve were in the garden and Satan approached Eve and says, is there anything you can't eat? And Eve says, yeah, we can eat everything except this one tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we cannot eat because God said if we eat of it, we will surely die. And Satan said, you will not die. What is the lie? You will not die. God's a liar. That's the lie. God's a liar. You see? Satan will sit there and convince you all day long you can get away with this. God is saying don't do this because He doesn't want you to be happy and to have everything you want. That's a lie. That's the lie that started in the Garden of Eden. And it's still being broadcast today as the world is saying throw off all restraints. As the world is saying, it's just be, it's who you are, you're born that way. No, you choose your sin. Okay? The more I looked at this message, I'll be honest with you. And you said, Brother Doug, you're supposed to, you know, encourage us, and I know this is not an encouraging message, but it's a message that is the truth that our country's got to hear today, that our kids have got to hear today, because I promise you, our young people are not hearing it in schools. Beloved, if you reject God, do not think you're going to get down the road and think it's all going to be okay. That's the lie. There is no life without God. I'll go on. Verse 26. Let's read that again. I want you to see the steps. It gets gradually worse. Verse 26 says, "For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions." To vile passions. That word vile is a state of disgrace or shame. So what are these vile passions? Let's continue to read. "For even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error which was due." What are the vile passions? It's homosexuality. Now, I'm not going to stand here and jump and scream and do all that preacher stuff and tell you how wrong it is. This is the Word of God. God calls it vile. That word, vile, is disgraceful and shameful. I know. It's not about my opinion. It's not about your opinion. It's about what the Word of God says. And if God says it's vile, beloved, it's vile. If God says it's shameful, it is shameful. You cannot defend a position that God says is shameful. And receiving, it says receiving the penalty of the error. Getting or reaping the harvest, if you will. What's the penalty? High rates of STDs. Hepatitis, high rates of anxiety disorder, depression, bipolar, every kind of mental problem that you can imagine. And you say, "Oh, Brother Doug, where'd you get those statistics off of CDC website?" Where does it lead? This is where it leads. What does God say about it? This is what God says. But the common symptom among homosexuals, and this should break your heart, the common symptom among homosexuals today, found on the CDC website, is the feeling of hopelessness. The reason they feel hopeless and helpless is because they're there without God. I know that churches are accepting homosexuals. I know that churches are ordaining homosexual pastors. I know there is a push in the United States of America that the only thing that seems to be wrong is to say that homosexuality is wrong. Well, beloved, it's wrong. And it's not wrong because I say so. It's wrong because God says so. But I want you to understand this. It's not just the sin. It's the steps that you're taking. It started with being, it started with just refusing and rejecting God, which led to uncleanness being turned over to the uncleanness, which is immoral sexual behavior. But now we're taking further steps, more steps, which is the homosexuality part. And it gets worse. In verse 28. "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do the things which are not fitting." Third time. Listen, when God says, I turn you over once, that's something. When it says, turn you over twice, that's getting really bad. Third, if He says it three times, you need to sit up and take notice. And He delivers them up to their sin. And ultimately what happens is verse 29, being filled. Notice that they're making these anti-God choices. The result, being filled with all unrighteousness. Sexual immorality. Wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. This is where it leads. Step one, step two, step three. You know, what he's saying is we start with the sexual immorality and ultimately we fill up what's left with just ungodliness. What has happened? We have become a culture without God. We have become, just take unrighteousness, for example, means to a disregard for what is right. Have you ever seen a time when there was such a disregard for right or wrong? Sexual immorality, wickedness, evil, maliciousness, which is hatefulness. Have you ever seen a time when man was so hateful? What are the race riots about? It's about hate. And whichever side you're on, okay? Bottom line, God created all men equal. It doesn't matter if their skin's green. Jesus Christ died for that person. Have you ever seen a time when there was such violence, murder, strife, deceit? You can't trust anyone anymore. Evil-mindedness, whisperers, proud, arrogant, boasters, inventors of evil, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving. Have you ever... I mean, this is a description of our culture. Why are we here? Because we started out rejecting God. We can talk about how bad things are. But the bottom line is this. It's not the sin. The sin is the symptom of the disease. The disease being God rejection. We started in the 60s as a country with sexual revolution. Free love, they called it. That run its course till we got to about the early 2000s. Then we began the gay pride marches. And now we've arrived at a country that is dominated by unrighteousness and all this stuff that I read to you earlier. How did we get there? We got there because we turned our back on God. Oh, listen, friends. If I could get people to understand today, the problem with our country is not the sin. The problem with our country is we've rejected God. You see, I remember the days, and kids today, I know you don't remember because you've never seen today. I remember the day, boy, when we'd have revivals. You remember what that was like? I mean, when we'd have revival, and boy, we'd have revival. There were some preaching, praying, singing, glorious good times. Kids don't know what that is today because we haven't seen that in so long. Oh, that God would send us that spirit of revival again. I remember the days when there was right and there was wrong. There were some things you just didn't do because it was wrong. And now I look, and it seems nobody really cares. I'm talking about in the world, okay? That right or wrong really has nothing to do with anything. It's what's in it for me. I preach this message with this in mind. I fear. And maybe I can get positive a little later on. We preach some uplifting, encouraging messages a little later on. But right now, we've got to deal with the truth. My fear is we're on the edge as a country. We've rejected God. We've rejected God. And we have rejected God. To the point that today churches are no longer churches. They're just, social clubs, and they stand for nothing and inclusive of everything. And it's scary. Because that is just a downward step to destruction. A nation. You go back and you look in history. A nation will not stand by abandoning God. Will not. I love you. But folks, we got to be praying for our country. We've got to be telling people about Jesus. We've got to be concerned. The invitation today. First, if you're here, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. My encouragement to you is choose Jesus. Choose Jesus. You've got to come face to face with a decision. Jesus Christ died for your sin so that you could have eternity in heaven with Him. But you've got to choose. You can choose Jesus or you can choose the world. But you can't go both ways. Maybe you're here today and you have chosen Jesus, but you've gotten a little cold and distant. You've made some bad choices. The good news is that if we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Now, I know in the world today, none of us want to stand up and say, I've sinned, I've done things I shouldn't do, and I've gone directions I should. You know, none of us want to do that. But the reality is that all of us need to do that from time to time. Today, if you need to get back on track, I want to challenge you to come for rededication. Today, if you need to be saved, I want to challenge you, you come and you choose Jesus. Today, whatever your need is, get it taken care of so that when you go out there, you can be salt and light to a world that needs the truth. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we pray for our nation. We see the direction that we've gone, and Lord, our heart breaks. Oftentimes, Lord, we look at the sin and we focus on the sin, and the reality is the sin is only there because it started with a rejection of God. Father, forgive us as a country. Bring us back to You. Send us revival, O Lord, that once again we can be a nation under God. Father, as we continue this study in the book of Romans, help us to take these things to heart so that we may be salt and light. Help us, Lord, to impact our culture for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you?